Welcome to Talks from the Bible. Hebrews 11, verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is a passage of Scripture spoken concerning the life and the devotion of Abraham. Abraham had been called by God. God called Abraham because of the faith that Abraham had in God. Abraham, because of his relationship with God and his desire to be obedient to the will of God, looked for a city that God had built and that God had prepared for the faithful. God has promised to his children, to those who follow him and obey him, a city that has foundations that cannot be destroyed. The city of which Abraham sought was heaven. Heaven should be our search. We should desire with all of our heart to go to heaven. We are mortals living on a mortal earth. Because of our mortality, our life will end. We will cease to live in this world. But we are a soul that is made and created in the image of Almighty God. We will live on and on. Our soul will not die, neither will our soul be destroyed. We will live either in a land that is full of bliss and peace and comfort, or we will live in a world that is horrible and painful and destructive. Abraham looked for a city that God had built, a land that we know as heaven. We must look for this city. We must devote ourselves to the finding of this city. We must commit our soul to the keeping of God. We must trust in his will. We must be obedient to the direction that he has given us in his divine word, the Bible. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham searched for a better land, a more permanent land, a land of joy, a land of peace, a land of comfort and promise. We search for a better land. We search for a land prepared by God. Hebrews 11, verse 10 and verse 16, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God has prepared for those who are not ashamed of him a city. We must never be ashamed of God. We must be willing to confess our faith in God. We must be willing to live a life that is obedient to the will of God. We desire a better country. This is not a better country. This is a country of war. This is a country of hatred and anger. This is a country of sinfulness and immorality. There is a better country. There is a country where sin is unknown. There is a city where despair is never known. There is a land where tears are never shed and heartaches are never experienced. We must desire a better country. That country is a heavenly country. And because we are not ashamed of God, he has prepared for us a city. The land which we seek is a land that is prepared by God, established by God. John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus is speaking to his troubled disciples. They are troubled because Jesus has informed them in chapter 13 that his stay upon the earth is coming to a close. He will die on the cross, he will be offered as a sacrifice for sin, and he will return to the heavenly land from whence he has come. They have left their occupations so that they might follow Christ. Some of them had perhaps left family so that they might follow Christ. Christ had changed their life. He had given them a new direction in which to walk. He had offered them a new experience. This is what Christ does for every human soul. He offers unto each of us a better way of life. He offers unto each of us a more promising future. But now Jesus has told them that he is not going to be with them very much longer, and so naturally they are troubled because of their relationship with Christ, their friendship with Christ, and the fact that they were with Christ on a daily basis. He says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus does not want them to be troubled in heart because of their belief in God. Because they believe in God, they also believe in him. Believers in God are to be believers in Jesus Christ, for Jesus is the Son of God. He came from God. He appeared and lived upon the earth because of his desire to do the will of God and because of the mission that God had given him to fulfill. Jesus says, "There are many mansions in my Father's house, and I go to prepare a place for you. I'm leaving the earth so that I might prepare a better place for you, a heavenly place. And because I'm going and preparing this place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself so that ye may be there also." One day Jesus is coming again to receive the faithful, the believers, the obedient, the followers and the imitators of his life, so that we might be where he is. Jesus is coming so that he might gather us together and take us home to the place where there are many mansions. Think about the Father's house. Think about the mansions in heaven. Think about living and dwelling with God forever and forever and forever. This is the promise of Jesus. Surely this land that has been prepared from God has the power to comfort our hearts and to remove the trouble and anxiety from our life. We live in this world with the hope of a better land that has been prepared by God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We live in an earthly house. Job called these bodies a house of clay, meaning that it is corruptible, that it will decay and dissolve. It will not remain. It will not last. It is not permanent. This earthly house of our tabernacle will be dissolved. We will die. We will move out of this earthly house. But, Paul says, we have the assurance that we have a building from God, a house that has not been made with hands. The house of God is not built with human hands, but rather has been built by the power of the Almighty God. We look at the earth, we see the power of the earth, the beauty of the earth, the splendor and majesty of the earth, and we know that the earth has been created and made by the Almighty Architect, God Himself. Heaven is a building that has been prepared by God, built by God. The foundation has been laid upon which this house is established and shall remain forever. It is eternal in the heavens. This is the land that has been prepared by God, and the land for which Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Noah and all of those other great characters of the Old Testament that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 looked and searched, and where they desired to dwell. This is the land which you and I must seek, and which we must desire. Matthew 25:34 is a picture of the judgment scene. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand. You read in Matthew 25 about a separation. The good are separated from the bad. The obedient are separated from the disobedient. The faithful are separated from the unfaithful. Now they live and dwell together. Sin abides and righteousness abides. Morality abides and immorality abides. But at the coming of Christ, there will be a separation. Jesus says that some will be placed upon his right hand and some will be placed upon his left hand. And he shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, God has prepared a kingdom where the faithful, the obedient, the righteous, the imitators and followers of Jesus Christ will live, abide, and dwell forevermore. We search for a land prepared by God. We search for a land in a heavenly world. This is an earthly world, and because it is earthly, it is temporal. It fades in its beauty. But heaven is a world established by God, where all of the disappointments, all of the ills, and all of the anxieties of earth are not known. Hebrews 11:16, But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They desired a better country, which was a heavenly country, not an earthly country. The country of heaven now cannot be visited. We cannot see this heavenly land, but rather by faith we behold it, and through obedience we seek to dwell there. We desire a better country, a heavenly country. We search for a land that is in a heavenly world. This heavenly world is eternal. It does not end. It does not cease. It does not fade. Colossians 1:5, Paul speaks and says, For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Heaven is a hope. The church, the faithful in Christ, those who are called to be saints, having been sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and walking in the light of God, and being obedient to the will of God, have a hope in heaven. This hope is laid up. It has been reserved. This hope is there waiting for us when this life is over. The church was driven by a hope that was laid up in heaven. The church served God because of the hope that was laid up in heaven. The church separated themselves from the world, did not live as the world, did not speak as the world, did not think as the world. because of the hope in heaven. The gospel is the revelation of God's hope in heaven. The gospel is preached because there is a hope laid up in heaven. The gospel is proclaimed so that they who hear the gospel will believe and obey the gospel because of the reward in living according to the gospel. God will reward the faithful in Christ Jesus with hope. Hope is an assurance, an expectation, a desire for something that is better, more permanent, lasting. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation, one version uses the word citizenship. I like that translation. For our conversation, our manner of life, our conduct, the way we live and conduct ourselves in this world, is in heaven. We are in the world, but our conversation, our citizenship, is in heaven. We are passing through. We are merely strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. We are visitors looking for a better land. And our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. I appreciate the citizenship of this country. I appreciate the liberties and the opportunities that I have had during my life. I appreciate the blessings that I have enjoyed because of my citizenship in this country. But my hope is in a better country. My hope is in a heavenly land that has been prepared by God for those who will be faithful and obedient. I strive to preach and live according to the gospel because of the hope that is provided through the gospel. Jesus Christ is the substance of the gospel. He is the foundation stone upon which the gospel is built and established. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus Christ provides a hope for all humanity, where they can attain unto the eternal blessings of Almighty God. Matthew 5 and verse 12, Jesus said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Jesus speaks of persecution in this world. He speaks of trial and difficulty. We know from our own experience, from our own life, trial, disappointment, discomfort, uncertainty. But Jesus says to his disciples, even though you are persecuted in this world, you can rejoice and be exceeding glad, for you have a reward in heaven. There is a reward for following Jesus. There is an eternal blessing for surrendering your heart and your life to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This world provides no such hope. This world cannot assure you of anything that is better, anything that is more precious. Heaven is the greatest promise that has ever been made, and that promise is established upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that promise, that reward, will be received through obedience unto Jesus Christ and his will, and through a life of faithful, obedient service, even unto death. Matthew 6 and verse 20, Jesus urged us, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Jesus said there is a land that moth and rust cannot corrupt. There is a land where thieves do not break through nor steal. That certainly is not here upon the earth. We are aware of thievery. We are aware of corruption. Nothing that we can purchase will last forever. We have to replace automobiles. We have to replace appliances. Sometimes we even have to replace parts of our own body because of the decay and the corruption and the rust that affects us. But Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because in heaven rust and moth doth not corrupt, and thieves do not break through nor steal. We search for a land in a heavenly world. We search for a land of eternal promise. Here we have an earthly promise, and that promise is certainly uncertain. There is no guarantee what will happen to us in the future. There is no amount of certainty that we can achieve in this world. Our best laid plans can come to naught. But heaven is a land of eternal promise. Hebrews 13:14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Think about all the war and the destruction that has taken place in this world. Think about all the magnificent structures that have been destroyed by the various elements in this world. Think about how majesty becomes tarnished and beauty can fade. Think about how life ages us and brings us many times to a state of instability and uncertainty. We do not have a continuing city here, but we seek one to come. We seek for a heavenly city that will continue and will abide. The beauty of that land will not fade. The steadfastness of that land will endure. Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Our hope is eternal life. Probably the greatest fear of humanity is death. One great preacher of old said, I am not afraid of death. I am afraid of dying. But heaven is a land that is eternal. Life is eternal. There is no interruption of life. There is no end of life. There is no sickness in life. There is no decay in life. God has promised eternal life. For those who seek heaven, who desire to live in a better country, God has promised that that life there will be eternal. There will be no funerals in heaven. There are no cemeteries in that land. There are no hospitals in that land. There is no need for restoration, because all things continue. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As the sons of God, as the daughters of God, as the children of God, through obedience of the gospel of Jesus Christ and through membership in the church of Jesus Christ, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall become like Jesus. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, where this corruptible body will put on incorruption, and this mortal will become immortal. We will become as Jesus Christ is. John 12:25-26, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Through service to Jesus Christ, we will be blessed and adorned with the honor of God. Eternal life will be our blessing. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The promise of God is eternal life. If we love God, we can be assured of the promise of God. We seek a land of eternal promise. We seek a land of hope and expectation. We can hope in this world, but there is no guarantee that life will get any better. Sometimes we are fully aware that life will only get worse, that things will only decay more and more. But the land of heaven is a land of hope and expectation. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's gift of salvation will be revealed in the last time. But through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of the abundant mercy of God, we have been begotten to an inheritance. Do you have an inheritance in this world? Is it an inheritance such as that as God promises? Listen to the lively hope of those who are secured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ and who are kept or guarded by the power of God. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. This is our hope. This is our expectation. 1 Corinthians 15:49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We bear the image of the earthly while we live here. In that land we shall bear the image of the heavenly. This old corruptible aging body, where we do not hear as well as we used to hear, do not see as well as we used to see, do not move as well as we used to move, will bear the image of the heavenly. We will be renewed. We will be restored. Philippians 3:21. Who, speaking of Jesus Christ, shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. God will take in that land this vile body, this decaying, aging, corrupting body, and fashion it like unto his glorious body. He will change us from the corruptible to the incorruptible, from the inglorious to the glorious. Romans 8:21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We shall be delivered from this corruptible bondage in which we now live, into the glorious liberty of God's children. We will be free from corruption. We will become incorruptible. What an expectation, what a marvelous hope given unto the children of God by the divine Creator. 2 Timothy 4:6-8. Paul has come to the end of life. He now faces death. He is certain of his end, that his voyage, his journey, has come to a close. And he says with great confidence, with great hope, and with great expectation, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love, his appearing. We have laid up, if we are faithful and loyal to Christ, a crown of righteousness, and in that day that crown shall be placed upon our head, and we shall wear it throughout eternity. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Search for that city. Long for that city. Live in hope of that city. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street, Somerville, Georgia.